I'm going to say good afternoon, Bill, but it can never be a good afternoon when you've spent, along with the entire staff and team and everything else, all of those months putting all of this together, and then suddenly they say to you, it's time to go home. That can't be fun.
Yeah, I'm not. It's certainly a disappointing day, yesterday, today. It's kind of picking up the pieces.
How do you, when you deal with something like that, do you play this one over and over and over in your head, or do you get to the point where you sit there and say, okay, I need to get away from it because the season is over. We can't advance on. There's no way we can do anything here. And then collect everything and then try to evaluate and put it together for the next run.
I think a little bit of both. We play Baltimore next year. We can certainly learn a lot from this game for ourselves and also in a future preparation while it's fresh in our mind. And we'll take a look at that and then also just take a look at the entire body of work, the 17 regular season and one postseason games, and try to take a look at that, not just one game, but the whole season, and take stock of that as well.
You know, Tom obviously had a bad day, but after Suggs had grabbed his finger, the ball was fluttering, and he normally throws a tight ball. Did that affect his hand at all when he grabbed it on that strip?
I didn't ask him about that, Fred. So not sure. I think he was okay. I thought he hit a few passes. I don't think it was the accuracy as much as it just was the overall execution.
And Welker being out, and obviously he's the outlet, and it seemed like there was a lot of confusion, where Edelman to line up and Aikman, he talked, was it, and we don't have the vantage point that you did to know what the call was or what the adjustments would be. It's always easy to blame one guy when the pass goes bad. Was there a lot of confusion with the receivers of where to go and where the route adjustments should be?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that was a I think what happened in the game was we ended up obviously throwing a lot more than we had planned on throwing. We lost the balance of the game fairly early. And sometimes you get into making adjustments on routes as you get into the game just because you're running so many of them. And there could have been a little bit of that. But I don't think that was a big problem.
How was the week of practice leading up to the game?
Well, I think like most weeks, Steve, you put in something new, you get ready for a new opponent, and there are things you have to work out and go back over again. You actually have when you actually see them on the field. So we had corrections during the week, as we usually do. So I think the players were they put a lot into the game. Unfortunately, we just didn't get the kind of result at all that we were looking for on any level from any of us. So. That was disappointing.
The first run, the long run, simple dive, and he broke it back, correct? It looked like they had the initial hole blocked up, and he made a slight cut back to the other side of the center, and looked like the backside linebacker got walled in a little bit, and he cut around him, or he got blocked out.
Rice made a good cut, and I thought we played to play fairly well, but not good enough. And then he was able to find a little crease there, and then couldn't get him at the second level. We kind of got caught up there at the line of scrimmage, and he split us. So we've all seen a lot bigger holes than that, but it was big enough, and we didn't play it quite well enough at the line of scrimmage, and then we weren't able to make the tackle in the secondary. So that was obviously a terrible way to start the game.
Ray Lewis said something that was really peculiar after the game. He said that he had been watching lots of TV and listening to Brady's cadence, and therefore he could pretty much anticipate from all of the times he had heard it on TV. And it did seem like a couple of times that he seemed to time it perfectly in breaking through. Is that possible?
If Ray Lewis said it, it probably is.
Because on that blitz, we came up the middle, he had Maroney supposed to come up and hit him, obviously. He picks the back up. But it looked like he got a good charge at it. Normally, at home, you have a use of your cadence. You can stagger it so guys can't anticipate it. Did he, when watching the film, did he get a full run at that, and then and Maroney just didn't get in place in time? Because he looked like he hit it pretty good on a pretty good run.
Yeah, they do a pretty good job of timing up their blitzes anyway. And Ray Lewis is a very experienced player, so he might have been able to time that up a little bit. That's a possibility.
How do you go through, Bill, the whole evaluation process when you not just with the players, but the coaches, your system, your scheme, everything else. How do you sit down and say, all right, I've just seen this whole body of work this whole season, and figure out what went wrong? Because, you know, we'll do it now for the next few weeks, and fans will do it and everything. But for you, it's real. You've got to figure out there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad. There's guys that should be here, guys that shouldn't be here, probably play schemes, should be here, shouldn't be. How do you do that? How do you process all of that? Now, how long does it take?
Well, it probably takes a good solid month at the beginning of the off season to do all what you're talking about. And it comes in different stages, but the first thing you do is assemble all the information, and then you look at the different areas that you talked about, and various people that are involved in those give their opinions and try to identify problems and identify solutions and try to figure out what's the best course of action. And then once that's determined, then set our sails on that. Sometimes it's not evident right away exactly what the problem is or exactly what the solution is, and sometimes that takes a little further investigation and try to dig deeper and do a little more research and see what you can come up with. So there's no exact formula for it other than the process of getting the information, looking at it, getting different perspectives on it, and then trying to arrive at a direction to go with.
But obviously, during the season, you compile that information game to game. You know, check your tendencies, check what's working and what isn't working, evaluate talent. So at the end, it's a summary and then evaluation.
Right. We do it game by game, but yeah, at the end of the year, you have a lot more time to look at a lot more information and look at it from different angles and different perspectives. And again, a lot of times things look bad that are really pretty close to being good, and sometimes things look good that are circumstantial, and they really probably aren't as good as what you think they are when you really look closely at it. So, I mean, it can go both ways.
Coach, the one trend that really sticks out with this football team that I haven't seen since you've taken over as head coach is about 11 or 12 out of the 16 regular season games this year. Certainly in the second half, there was a demise, and not so much you had to score a bunch of points, but just being able to finish off teams. How do you correct that?
Well, it all comes back to consistency, whether it's starting the game well or finishing the game well or playing for 60 minutes. And that's an area, you're right, that we didn't do a great job of in this year. And you always strive for it, but this year we lack some consistency. And that was really in all three phases of the game. And so certainly at the beginning of the game yesterday, it was a big hole for us to try to dig out of, and we couldn't get out of it. Sometimes that's come at other points in the game.
Was there a lack of leadership, particularly on defense, but maybe on the whole team? Was there an issue about lack of leadership having a number of your previous leaders move on?
Well, I think every team has its own chemistry, has its own has its own dynamics and leadership. I think that a number of our players who are younger players, the Gerard Mayos and Brandon Merriweathers and Logan Mankins, guys like that, are outstanding leaders. I think they do a tremendous job in their own way, and they all have different styles of leadership and so forth. So, ultimately, I think in the end, nobody can do anybody else's job, and as much as leadership's important, it's equally or maybe more important for every person to do their job and do it well, and that's probably the main thing that we really needed to do this year better as a football team, was just for everybody to consistently execute what we needed to do. And we had plenty of times when things were good, but then they would not be good consistently. And that's really the level you need to be at to be a good football team. And we just didn't do it consistently.
Bill,
we had our moments, but we came up a little bit short at times, and that was definitely the case yesterday.
Begin the year with a lot of transition in defense, and the offense seemed to be more of a solid unit, more guys, more stars. It looked like everyone expected more, but the inconsistencies, how much did it change the game plan that you used and the implementation? You obviously had a new offense coordinator, and you all put it together. How much of it did it change the game planning and the implementation of the game planning from over the years? I mean, you obviously have say in it, But what was the difference between years past? And, you know, because you had a lot of transition over the years with assistant coaches and coordinators, and, you know, you had to seem to have a clean transition from one to the other. But this year it seemed to never seemed to be a real consistent offense.
Well, I think the process this year was the same as it's been in previous years, and I think when you look at the 05 season or even the 06 season, offensively, some of the things that you're saying now, you were saying then too. So,
it was a short game, not going.
Is it all? Well, or whatever it is, you know, some element of that's missing. So, I think that the process is the same as it's been. You know, can we do a better job from a coaching staff of designing better plays, complementing them better, getting a more efficient operation all the way around? Absolutely, and that's something that we need to work on in the off season on offense, defense, and special teams. That we need to improve our overall coaching and the system and the way everything works. We need to fine tune it and make it more efficient, and make it better, and we need to play better, and we need to just do everything better. I mean, I don't think you can look at a game or even seven losses over the course of the year and feel like there's not areas that you can improve in. There are a lot of areas we can improve in, and we need to try to address all of them. And if we can get a little bit better in a lot of things, then that ends up being a big improvement.
You always emphasize, and rightfully so, to us, that every year is its own season and it has its own unique setting, and we have a tendency, and I think fans even more so, have a tendency to kind of loop it all together. If they've had success in 07 and they were great, why aren't they great now? I thought the answer you gave this morning in the press conference was quite interesting, talking about that dynamics of a coaching staff, and you've had a lot of changes because you've had a lot of success here and guys have moved on. The dynamics of you now as a three-time Super Bowl champion with a younger staff, and you mentioned that, you know, with Romeo, with Charlie, they would say to you, you really want to do that? And I thought it was kind of interesting. Do you think that you need to have guys that are more vocal around you? Steve has talked before about being around you and how game plans were formulated, and you actually asked him for his opinion a couple of times about a game plan.
How'd that work for you?
Do you think maybe that your presence with some of these guys, that they're shy about doing that, where Romeo, where Charlie, where, you know, Vrabel, guys before would sit there and say, Bill, what the hell? What are we doing this? Because I thought that was an interesting answer you threw out there today.
Well, I think every coaching staff has its own dynamics, too. And I think our staff does a good job. They work hard. They're well-prepared. I think they dig hard to get the information that we need. And I think that we, you know, collectively as a group try to make the right decisions. Could we do a better job? Sure. But I think that there's that our system can operate efficiently. And I think there are plenty of examples this year, last year, through the years where, we've certainly more than held our share, given the fans plenty to cheer about out there on a football field. So, but can it, like anything else, can we do a better job? Sure.
How much of the offensive play calling were you directly involved in this year?
Well, ultimately, every play that gets called, I have the final say on, so therefore, say if there is any of them that you didn't like, then you should probably hold me accountable for them.
So now that's changed, though. It's always like that. Everything filters through you.
I have the final say on the play, so if the play is a bad play or it's called in the wrong situation or it doesn't work out right, then I'm the one that's finally responsible for it. I mean, the buck stops on my desk, so I accept that.
I want to ask you a question about at the end of the half. I think you had the ball on the 35-yard line, was it? And you chose to punt it instead of kick a field goal or go for it. Was the decision kick a field goal was because of the weather and the coldness with the ball doesn't travel as far, or not to go for the
I felt like we were right at the edge of field goal range there. There was still a decent amount of time left. I want to say about a little over 3 minutes. Yeah. And we felt like if we could punt them down there and get the ball back, that there would still be, you know, plenty of time to score. And it was a long field goal into a not a strong wind, but the wind was a factor. And just didn't feel good about the percentages of that kick and the field position if we had missed it, where I felt if we could back them up and stop them and get the ball back, we could cut it to a two-score game. And had we been able to stop them, I'm pretty confident we could have cut it to a two-score game, but they were able to run the clock out at the end of the half, and that was those two first downs that they got there at the end of the second quarter were, I thought that was really a although there were several low points in the game, that was definitely one of them. That had we been able to stop them there, get a little momentum, score before the half, make it a two-score game instead of a three-score game, that would have helped. But in the end, I doubt if it would have been enough based on the way the entire game went. But that was an opportunity that we missed.
When things start almost spinning out of control like they did in the first quarter, what can you or your staff do as coaches to stem the tide or to even stop it? What can you do in those situations?
Well, I think the main thing is for everybody just to understand that you're playing one play at a time. You can't score 24 points in one possession. You can't get three turnovers on one play. You've just got to play it one play at a time and try to have one good play, put another one behind it, string three or four together, and that's how things get better. And of course, as a competitor, you want to try to make the big play. You want to try to make a play that turns things around, that changes the direction that they're going when they're not going good. And I think it's more important at that time to really focus on your job, your responsibility, your technique, and just try to get one good play, because that's all you can do is play the next play. And then if you get that, as I said, try to string a couple of them together. And that's the best way to turn that around, rather than try to, hope to go up there and hit a big home run on one play. Occasionally that works, but for the most part, if you can just get some consistency and get control of the game back, but it took us too long to do that.
You went to no huddle what time? Third quarter?
Yes.
Was there any deterrent from going to that with the lack of experienced receivers? You had Akins and then you had Edelman, and obviously.
No, I think the only question you get into when you do that is that you're leaving some plays in the game plan behind, and if you feel like you have some plays, and certainly things didn't go great. I'm not saying that, but you still have plays in there. You feel like, well, based on what they're doing, these are still pretty good plays. We haven't gotten a chance to run them yet because we haven't had the ball very much, or we don't want to give up those plays to just go into a 2-minute no huddle mode. And so that's kind of the decision you make. At some point, you just say, okay, forget what we had. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play fast. We're going to go no huddle and try to get back in the game that way. But as I say, the only downside or flip side to that is just you eliminate game plan plays that you worked on all week that you obviously think are good plays. That's why you had them in there. And if you feel like there's still a place for those plays, then you might want to hang on to them. If you look at those plays and say, boy, the way things are, they're playing us today, or something's happened, this just isn't going to be what we thought it was, well, then that's an easy decision. But we still felt like we had some things that were that we could attack them with, and so we gave it a couple more series there in the third quarter, and of course it didn't work out, so then we made the shift.
Now, some of those the quick out passes, they were all over those. Watching the film again, is there anything that you did that you saw them do that you didn't expect them to do?
No, not really. No, I think they play their defense, they play it well, and they don't give up a lot of easy plays to anybody, and including us, and you got to work for them. You have to execute them well, and they certainly did a better job of executing their defense than we did our offense, and vice versa, their offense and our defense. So, all the way around, it's just the game that they were the better team. They beat us in every area of the game, coaching, playing, offense, defense, special teams, you name it. They were the better team yesterday, and give them credit, and certainly we are very disappointed in our performance, as we should be.
What changes do you anticipate this offseason?
Well, that's a good question, Steve. I think right now is the first thing is to analyze and take a look at what we did, and before we decide what direction we're going in, really take a good thorough evaluation of what's happened. And we're heading into some areas from a league standpoint that are a little different than what they've been in the past, so we'll have to factor those in as well. So I'd say at this point right now, there's no specific immediate plans other than to take a look at what we're doing, and in time that'll all come out. But I'd rather take my time and make a good decision rather than rush into something and make a decision, particularly when you don't really have to.
How do you deal with the uncertainty of this possibly uncapped year and four-year guys may not be free agents, and not only for your own guys, but other guys that you might be looking at around the league? How difficult does that make it to figure out what you're going to do?
Oh, that's a real good and interesting question, and we spent some time talking about that, and not as much as we will because we've been so immersed in our season and our preparations from a game-to-game standpoint. But now that it's over and now that we're on to the 2010 season, that'll be, I'm sure, some lengthy discussions and conversations about what the options are, and then ultimately we'll try to decide which one we think is best for us. Ultimately, I think you have to do what's best for your football team, and it's hard to sit in Foxborough and talk about what some other teams are going to do or not going to do or what they could do, and then what should we do. Ultimately, I think you have to decide what's best for your team and do it, and then whatever they do, they do. But you've got to be careful about making decisions based on what you think somebody else might do.
Is it a fluid situation, though? Could it change? For an example, you're looking at one set of rules now. Let's say they come up with some type of collective bargaining agreement and change everything around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. If the rules change, then good decisions could be bad decisions. Bad decisions could be good decisions. And that makes it very uncertain. And again, when you don't have to make a decision today, it might be worth it to wait until you really need to make that decision, because something may change or you may get more information that could help you make that. So I think our thought process is to go through our evaluation analysis, try to figure out what's best, and the things that we have to do, we'll do, and then the things that we have time to, before we have to make those decisions, we'll probably take that time and see if anything changes. We have no idea.
How long will you step away just to let you get your thoughts and collected and, you know, relaxed so you can make rational decisions?
Well, you know, hopefully a few days here somewhere along the line.
Well, we have thoroughly enjoyed our Mondays with you here during the entire season. And I guess we're wrapping up the decade. It's been a hell of a decade.
Yeah, it has.
When you get a chance to get some time away and you can look back at some of it, maybe throw a couple of those DVDs in there, I think we're all going to look back at this and say, there were some phenomenal moments. There were some downs, as yesterday was, certainly.
Right.
But there was pretty high moments there.
Right, there were. And nobody's more disappointed in what happened yesterday than the team is, and its loyal fans. And we of course, feel terribly about that. It's in the books. There's nothing we can do but look ahead and move forward. And that's what we're going to try to do. But the support we've gotten has been great. And been fun being on here on Mondays, most of Mondays. Appreciate all the support from the fans and the listeners out there, and you can be sure that we're going to work at it hard and long to try to make the improvements that we can to help our football team and try to keep getting better.
Coach, thanks for coming down.
Do you want Fred to email all the rumors he's hearing?
I got a couple more rumors that just floating around.
One quick thing: how many times did Nick call you after he won the national championship?
You know, I've texted Nick, but we haven't talked. I was just, you know, it's a great win for him and his program. And as usual, you know, Nick's a tremendous coach. As usual, he's done a great job with his football team, whether it be LSU, Michigan State, Miami, or, you know, now Alabama. So at least we're not in that division.
You can go down there with the straw hat and hide. You know?
I'm sure we'll talk in the off season a few times, as we always do every off season. We have enjoyed it, and we look forward to it again next season. But we'll talk, I'm sure.
Thanks, Coach.
As we get around the draft.
Thanks, Bill.